What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of What the Fuck, the Jillian Edition. I'm Jillian Zarowski.
I'm Josh Hadley. I don't like anything. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well, I guess Josh is actually here. So.
Yeah, I am actually here, Jay.
I forgot you were on the call. Looked down and saw that. Hi, Josh.
You're hijacking my show?
I thought it was our show under the understanding, even though you get to pick all of the songs.
I started it.
To me. I started it. What are you, seven? I started the show.
I also edit it. And I upload it, so don't boo-boo me. No.
You want some cheese with that wine there?
All right. What do you got for us this week, since you have my lack
I
of internet?
I have control.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat. There is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
My lack of internet has kind of forced me to let you do everything. Every story this week has been chosen by Jillian.
I am in charge, and I like it.
All right, there, control voice. Can
no,
you?
Speaking,
what's our
speaking
first thing?
Well, hold on. Let's establish. Hey, backseat driver. We need to establish first that at the time of this recording, it is November 4th, and the elections have not occurred yet. However, in the heart attack section, they will have occurred, so it'll be like some crazy, twisty, time warpy thing to where Josh and Hart have knowledge that I don't. I think that's unfair because they get a one-up, so. Yeah. Anyway.
You and Hart record on different days with me. I can't.
What
help
makes him
that.
So goddamn special that he gets to record on Wednesday and gets to know the, you know, little outcome and get to comment on things before I get to?
Well, Hart gets Wednesdays because that's the day that he's available because he's a busy guy. You and I are busy.
Are you saying I'm not busy? You're
Let
just like,
finish.
Oh,
Let
well, pshaw.
Let me finish. You and I have a set day, Sunday. It just so happens this week. The Wednesday is the more valuable day because, well, unless we repeat 2000, where we don't, where, you know, it takes months to find out who the fucking president is, we'll know by Wednesday who won, more or less.
Yeah. So, so that's the deal with that. When you get to the heart attack segment, I'm sure they'll be talking political stuff, which I'm kind of butthurt over, because then next week's it'll be like, Jillian and Josh's turn to either...
Excuse
like,
me, Mrs.
Or...
Butthurt. Hold on. Excuse me, Mrs. Butthurt.
Why am I a Mrs.? I'm not married to Butthurt. You can't call me a Mrs. Butthurt.
Ms. Butthurt. Mm-hmm. You're the one who always... I don't want to talk politics. I'm sick of politics. Now you're bitching when I'm not letting you talk politics?
Yeah, it's kind of like when you give a drug to a person and then you're like, no, you said you didn't want to do this. And it's like, you already got my dander's up. It's already there in the election and everything. So we will either be bitching about who won or perhaps breathing a sigh of relief, depending upon point
yep.
of views. Yes. So, and if any Canadians would like to sponsor me, should Romney win, I would like to go there on grounds of political refugee. But anywho, okay, today, instead of dumbest thing, we have an assortment of what we will call a wild card day. I dub this, the Mistress J of Latter-day Gamers dubs this wild card day.
Have you been ordained with that title?
I am self-ordained. No, if... I guess I've never said that on here. It's a big thing, and it'll be my website. Basically, I have minions, and it's the Church of Mistress J of Latter-day Gamers. So, anywho, big, like, geeky stuff. The first thing we have to talk about, we're not going to hit on it a lot, but it's more of an announcement. Again, at the time we're recording, you will already know this outcome. This is just like Jill doesn't know day. Tomorrow, as of this recording, Facebook might not exist anymore. Apparently, a few days ago, Anonymous, which if you've heard of them, they bring down corporations. They're a huge elite group of hackers that do it for the quote-unquote cause of good. Sometimes, unfortunately, there's, you know, collateral damage depending on what they take down, what they do. They did threaten it a year or two ago about taking down Facebook, and it didn't happen. So it could be another threat. We don't know. So I'm sure if people haven't read this article, you may have signed onto your computer if this happened, been like, what the fuck? Like, it's going to be gone.
I do want to correct. They are not hackers. They are crackers. A hacker only breaks into a system to take things. A cracker breaks into a system to change things. There is a difference in what those two terms mean between a hacker and a cracker.
Anyway,
I've read quite a few books on computer hacking and whatnot.
No. You know more about that. But they're either they refer to themselves as or the media does. I don't know that much into this, but hacktivists, because they're like hacking activists. So I guess there's a little code thing there. It's been threatened to take down Facebook and release Zynga's game, Zynga, for free download on November 5th if the latter does not backtrack on alleged plans to lay off 1,000 employees and outsource work. So apparently on October 23rd, Zynga announced that they would be calling 5% of their employees in Austin, Texas, and said they had 2 hours to leave the building and suggested they may soon close their British and Japanese offices too. Anonymous was not happy in this, and in a YouTube video announced and threatened the actions that said, with $1 billion cash sitting in a bank, we do believe that such actions are an insult to the population and the behavior of corporations like Zynga must change. So essentially, because they're laying off a lot of employees, and again, 5%, but this is big corporation. It's, you know,
yeah, but here's my thought of it. While I obviously don't want Facebook to get torn down, and I think it's kind of wrong to tear down the company, I can't really say, at least on a personal level, I disagree with their motivation here.
Yeah, I mean, again, motivation aside, I'm not going to comment anyways. You know, we do depend a lot on social media, so as long as Twitter behaves. But as for, you know, promoting things, we do rely on Facebook a lot. And we've talked about this on our dependence on social media a few times where we've kind of just had geek bitching. The thing is here, though, with Facebook Messenger, it's kind of replaced, you know, quote unquote, IMs. You can talk to people in different countries without having to pay for plans. So I will be sad to see that go. And it's kind of ironic because I think it was last show or the show before, we were talking about MySpace versus Facebook. I wonder if there's going to be this mass migration back to MySpace, be like, all right, boys, bring her on down. And everybody's going to be, and I don't even remember my MySpace password. Like, I know that stuff stays active forever. So I was really debating. I'm like, maybe I should just create like a username now just in case. And
you know what's really funny about that whole thing, though? But I like the fact that you said go back to MySpace without ever even considering moving to Google+. Google Plus is still such the ghetto that nobody will ever go there. Even if MySpace collapses, no one will still go to Google Plus.
I do not like Google Plus. I get some Google Plus requests, and I don't like having a media connected to my email, you know, because I do a lot of work. I'm on the internet. I don't want to get 3,000 emails. Like, I get to that point where I have like 4 email addresses, and you know, you buy stuff and you don't uncheck the thing or whatever on websites. I've got like 2 email addresses that have like 3,000 some emails, and I check through and then I just change my email address and update like everybody and be like, hey, it's my new email address. And I don't want that attached to my Google email.
And you don't check them.
Because, and here's the thing, it's, Jillian, it almost full circle.
I've emailed you, and it'll sit there for 3 weeks.
You have to
weeks.
Tell me that you email me. Here's
See,
the thing.
That's dumb. How do I tell you?
Because it goes full circle. I tell people, this is the sad thing, I really do this, I'm not joking. I tell people, if you send me an email, either text me or message me on Facebook, because I don't correspond by email. There's no point. It's so easy to do it via like a messenger thing on Facebook where I'm like, hey, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't want to have to sign into my email, go into there. And you get crap all the time where it's like, you know, blank and blank newsletter from, you know, either Yahoo or what have you. So
have you ever got spam from your own email address to your own email address?
I don't think so. I don't check it enough to really know.
I've actually gotten spam from my
Dear Josh. Signed Future Josh.
No, that actually would be really, really cool. No, it's actually usually porn spam or, you know, get cock pills from Canada.
That's
kind of
because
thing.
You but keep it comes going from to AdamandEve.com.
Well, they're not our sponsor. I'm still working on getting them back. But yes, and you can use the promo code DROME.
For now. No, but I meant this is like a quick thing, but it actually does segue into a lot of stuff. But yeah, I'm very dependent on Facebook. Am I going to completely die if it goes down? I'm going to be like really upset. And I know, especially with reviewers and things, you know, that's the best way to get it out. You can do it via Twitter, but at the same time, more likely for someone to search on a social media page to see, oh, who has what updated versus tweets, because people tweet, you know, you only get like 100 and whatever characters. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if they actually go through with it. If Facebook has not fallen, they call it the Facebook apocalypse, and they warned people to get pictures, get what have you. So because when you're listening to this, it either happened
or it didn't.
So but that was just one thing there. Second thing here, now that I'm on my little rant mode, I apologize, but I really get sick of the commercials that are kind of spoofing GameStop for, I think, like Gamefly and other things where it's a very GameStop-esque store. And you've got people going in and they're like, what? I'm only getting $6 or $10 for a video game. I paid $60 and they're throwing stuff down. And I hear it's not just the commercials. I hear so many people bitching about GameStop. And this is not an endorsement. I don't have a side job with GameStop, anything like that. I love GameStop. You're not renting the fucking game. You bought it. If you don't think you are going to want to keep it, then rent it. You know, they don't have to take your game. You bought it from Best Buy, Walmart, wherever. It's like they need to resell it, you know, and then especially if you've had it for 4 or 5 months, games usually drop down a little bit depending what they are. And just the fact, I mean, if you have a member's card, which is like really cheap for a year, you get boosts in credit. If you're looking for just cash, take it to like a freaking like old school DVD selling and game store, because for GameStop, as for credit, I mean, yeah, you're not going to get a crap load of money depending how old your games are as well. But they have a lot of promotions where it'll be like 50% extra trade-in credit or 30% or get this much extra towards, you know, this. And here's the thing that's presented. And when people bitch about it, they're like, I paid $60 for this game and they're only giving me like $6 or $10. It's like, you bought it, you know, I mean, just rent it. Like if you want to do like a Netflix type thing on Gamefly, that's fine. I'm not dissing Gamefly. I don't like how they go about in the commercials, because I think it is asinine to be pissed that a place is only giving you so much for something you bought. It's not like, oh my God, you won't let me return this and it's broken. And of course, GameStop isn't perfect. I'm not saying it's the best store in the all, you know, in the whole
wide
world.
I have plenty of issues with it, but
right. However, the whole idea of this trade-in thing and people getting pissed at how much, you know, you're getting for games, it's like when I buy a game, I don't intend to trade it in. I mean, I've had a few games.
But every now and then you come across one where it looked really cool, and then it turns out to be like a Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, and you go, ugh, this is awful.
I'm not mad at GameStop. I'm like, all right, I got $6. Am I ever going to play this game again? No. So I would rather use it as trade-in credit. So I just don't get all of the hate based on that alone. Like, obviously, there's other store policies or what have you. That's fine. But I hear a lot of people, and not just online. Like, I have certain friends that are like, oh, that's bullshit. It's like, you know what? Rent the game. And I'm guilty of that, too. I've bought games where I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Like, you know, I know 10 people that recommended it. And I'm like, oh, I really should have rented this first. And then I just wait until, like, an extra 50% thing. Like, I had a bunch of games, and actually, I had a Kinect, which sucks ass. If you are like, oh, the Kinect is awesome, I'm saving up to get one, don't. It is so horribly out of line. I don't know if they're going to improve upon it for the next system, but no. So I had a Kinect, and I had games, and GameStop had, like, an extra 50% trade-in thing. I got almost $100 just for a couple Kinect games and the Kinect, which I was never going to play again. Did I get the full value for it? No, but at the same time, I mean, just for the Kinect and a couple games. And it's like, if you would have taken that into like a place that, you know, recycles thing that just has old school games, DVDs, music, you probably wouldn't have gotten that much for it. They stiff you more than places like GameStop. So that's my little nerd rage there. And
all
I
right.
don't.
Can I give my side to the GameStop thing?
Yeah.
You don't sound too enthused about that. So thank you very much.
Because I feel like you're going to like go off because you like going off on stuff. Again, just on this issue, not on GameStop, like all the other stuff, because we've talked about that before, and I'm sure it'll come up again, but just on the trade-in.
Oh, okay. I don't see those commercials as being as offensive as you do, because I remember, and I know you do too, the old Sega Genesis commercials of Genesis does what Nintendo don't. It's kind of the same thing. We're calling out our competition for us doing something that they are unable or unwilling to do.
It's not the same, though, because you've got GameStop that's giving you in trade-in value, and the commercial is based upon essentially Netflix but with video games. So you're not purchasing things. You're not trading in. It's advertising a rental. You know what? Family Video could do the same thing, too. It's saying, pay $9 a month and get unlimited games, keep them for however long. And it's like, I have lots of games to where I would never use Gamefly. You know, I play them all the time. You know, I'm not going to get Legend of Zelda through Gamefly. I'm going to own the fucking game. You know, the Mario.
You're a Zelda freak, though.
Well, I am, but I'm just saying a lot of games. I have a lot of games that's nice to own and go in versus, oh, man, I feel like playing Silent Hill 2. So if I'm doing this, you know, game rental thing, and especially as a gamer, you like to own things. If you want to try it before you buy it, fine, rent it, what have you. But the fact that they're comparing it to anger over trade-in value, it doesn't correlate in my opinion. Because if I were to use Gamefly and it's like, oh, okay, you know, $9 a month, rent however many like Netflix, and then, you know, keep it as long as you want and trade it in, it's not the same correlation where it's like, hey, buy our stuff. It's literally going from, hey, rental, to dissing on GameStop for how much they give you trade-in value. You could easily make the same correlation then in that realm of, what, it's $60 to buy this game at Best Buy? Use Gamefly and only pay $9 a month. There's no reason. They set up the store specifically to look like GameStop. They have people throwing tantrums at the fact that they're only getting $6 or $9. They're like, what? I paid $50, because they're relating to people's rage on that. And what I'm saying is, I'm sorry, your rage is inexcusable. Even if you bought it there, it's like, you are buying it. You didn't rent it. It's not that there's something wrong with it and they're not taking it back. And it just boggles my mind. And I'm sorry, I know I'm going on a nerd rage rant here. It's like, who the fuck are you? You're lucky that they're taking it in. They don't have to. You bought it. That's nice. They're providing a service. They're saying, you don't like your game. All right, we'll give you some credit and you can actually put it towards another game instead of only getting like $4 for it that you would at some shops. And I'm not exaggerating.
Here's my thing, though. Anyone who trades their stuff in to GameStop, especially when it comes to a new title, I think is an idiot. You can get far more. Oh, it'll take a little bit longer. Yes. By putting it on eBay. Say used copies of Halo 4 are going for $55 at GameStop. You've got Halo 4, you've already beaten it, you don't want to play it anymore. Well, what you can do is you can put that up on eBay for $45. And that's going to, yes, it's going to grab people because they're going to go, hey, this is $10, even with shipping, this is still cheaper than getting it from GameStop. And you're going to get $45 for that instead of the 10 or so that you'd get from GameStop. Yes, it will take an extra week or so. Unless there's an immediacy, that's what eBay is for. That's the way I look at it. I rarely sell anything to you.
But they're looking at older games, though. They're looking at older games. But here's my thing. With Halo 4, yeah, I'd like to get it. I like to play the multiplayer. I didn't get the last one. I honestly miss it.
Are you a camper?
Sometimes. We've had that discussion where I went off on you for that, but no, well, especially in Rainbow Six, like proximity mines and remote mines. Oh, I've had some major kills just like waiting out, and then you activate it and blow people off ropes because they can't see. Here's the thing. Don't buy fucking Halo 4. Okay, you should know by now, because I waited in line midnight when Halo 2 came out, and it was a short game. I played co-op. We beat it in one sitting. So, you know, by now, up to Halo 4, you know that the games may not be that complicated for gameplay. So unless you really want to do the multiplayer and hold on to it a while, don't fucking buy it. Just rent it then. And if you're going to sell it on eBay, that's fine. But I don't approve of the whole... And he's like, yes, you need my approval, Gamefly. I don't approve of the whole hating on GameStop for that. And that's the thing, too. It's like, honestly, I don't buy discs online unless they're out of print. I would rather pay the $10 and know that, like, Joe Schmo's little 7-year-old wasn't, like, touching the disc all over the place, because I've gotten stiff before, and it pisses me off. I would rather pay that extra $10, go into the store, and know I've got a new fucking copy or copy that's guaranteed to work versus whatever on eBay.
But see, here's my other thing about new games. In the modern era, you know, in the post-PS2 era, I have bought one game brand new, and that was Mass Effect 3, which also disappointed me. I can wait until that $60 game is a $35 game. I got Halo Reach for $20. Did I get it first few months it was out? No. I can wait.
I have nothing against Gamefly. I just really don't like the way that they're advertising their service, because, again, it doesn't have to be GameStop. And there's so many people that bitch about resale. They're trying to feed on that. And I just mean, you know, I'm not hating on Gamefly per se. It's more so just nerd rage towards these people. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there, if you're gamers, that are probably just seething that I'm being like this. But that's how I feel. And again, it's happened to me. I'm not saying that I've never bought a game to where it's like, oh crap, that game sucked. It's like, yeah, it sucks getting like $9, $6 for it. But I'm more mad at myself than the store for not giving me more money. I'm like, oh, I should have rented it. All right, I know I've been raging about this for a while. I apologize, because it angers me so bad. So I will say this. If you want to use Gamefly, great. Go ahead. Do a rental system. If you're going to buy a game and you don't like it, don't be butthurt when you don't get good trade-in credit. Look at it more as you're not stuck with a coaster now that you're never going to play and you're just going to use it to hold your drinks. So you should be thankful that you're at least getting something. Either rent it from Family Video, what have you, whatever your provider is, or do the Gamefly thing if you want. Personally, I don't want to pay $10 a month to rent games, because it's like I don't rent games every month. I am, you know, a gamer. I have lots of games. I have old games to play. You know, if a new game comes out, I'll give it a go from my rental place. Or obviously, if it's Zelda, I'm going to buy it. Like with Zelda, when it comes out for the Wii U, I don't know. I might have to buy a Wii U, even though I really don't want one. But it's one of those, even if Wii U's aren't being sold because they're short stock like they do, I'll still buy the fucking game and wait till I can get my hands on a system. So it may suck, but it's Zelda. I don't care. I'm not going to go into GameStop and be like, well, you're only giving me $7 for this. So that's that. Rent your games, but don't be butthurt if you buy something and you don't like it and you're only getting $6 or $9. And if it's an older game, of course, you're not going to get much for it because they're not going to sell it for that much.
Hey, you guys. Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another, but today I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day, my mother smoked 2 packs a day, and when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner, so we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks, I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right, it's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Cig. And that's THESAFECIG.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
Time for a change of pace on Heart Attack. Time to get a little personal here. My name's Hart D. Fisher. I started my career publishing comic books back in 1991 with my comic book company, Boneyard Press. I've been through a lot of stuff. A lot of crazy shit. My girlfriend was murdered in the middle of making my first film, The Garbage Man. I've had several of my girlfriends raped. I have dealt with a very violent, different side of life. I grew up in a side of Chicago where I saw parents beat up my friends. I grew up being beaten up by neighborhood, not just the neighborhood bully, but the neighborhood gang. I've been held down and beaten up. I have been through a lot of really bad, fucked up shit. I keep coming. I keep surviving. I keep living. I keep breathing. I keep loving. I am here to do things my way. I'm not here to go, oh, because the girl down the street got a candy bar. How come I don't get a candy bar? I don't give a fuck about the girl down the street. I give a fuck about me. I give a fuck about my life. I give a fuck about the people I care about. That's pretty much it. And during my time as a creator, I've engendered a lot of controversy. My work has been banned. Protest marches on my home over a stupid fucking comic book. I've had the police come to my house and tell me to leave town over a stupid fucking comic book. I've had my friends thrown in jail over a stupid fucking comic book. I kind of thought some of that was over in my life when I kind of left comics. I walked away from comics. I changed my life and decided I wanted to be creating in films, and I was wanting to finish my film, The Garbage Man. And a lot of my compadres felt the same way I did. We were kind of burned out on comics, and we were eager to move into making films. But one of the things I found out about the entertainment business is you really find out who your friends and enemies are. And who your friend was yesterday might not be your friend today. In fact, that person that you thought was your friend yesterday turns out to be the biggest parasite, the biggest enemy you ever dealt with. And I lived it. You know, I thought that the worst thing that could ever happen to me was what happened with Michelle. 3 different murder trials and the 10 years it took to keep her killer in jail. I thought that was the worst. I thought that was the bottom of the barrel. But it went deeper. It got worse. You know, I found love again. I rebuilt my life. I got married, and I built a new business, and I had what I thought was a really good thing going, and I thought I had the best friends in the world, and I was wrong. I found out that my best friends were all fucking me. All my closest associates, including my own brother, were fucking me, embezzling money from me, destroying my business, working hard to destroy my reputation. And this has happened to me more than once. You know, people can go out there, and they can Google my name, and they can look up me and my battle with Gary Way and why I call them my chemical ripoff, but you're only going to get part of the story. You're not going to get the full story. You know, that's between me and Gary. Gary knows what's up, and he knows why I'm looking for him. There's some other people out there like that. In my lifetime, I found that the people that have fucked me the hardest have been those closest to me. My closest associates have fucked me harder than any enemy I ever had. My brother fucked me harder and worse than any enemy I ever had. My closest business associate and best friend of 15 years. When the cancer hit Waka and I was flat on my back, this person manipulated me and used me and fucked me. When I started to rebuild my life, this person harassed me on the web. This person pursued all our mutual business contacts and did a whole number on my reputation and did a whole motherfucker on me and really went tooth and nail privately to go after me. And this was a guy who we had been best friends for like 15 years. I did not know what happened to this guy. I did not know why he changed. I did not know why he went so sour. And we made a film together. You know, we made a feature film, and you guys aren't going to see it because it's not going to be released. We ended up having legal problems. Journey into entertainment goes, I've run into more parasites and more scumbags and more self-destructive people. Folks, I worked in the adult film industry, and let me tell you, mainstream Hollywood is far dirtier. Mainstream Hollywood is far dirtier and nastier and sicker than anything I ever encountered working in the adult film industry. What I've seen is a lot of friendships destroyed by jealousy, envy, and hate. And it's really kind of sad because there's a lot of room out here to succeed, folks. There's a lot of room on the stage. There's a lot of room in the spotlight. And unfortunately, people don't understand that when the cancer hit and I lost my closest associates, I lost my best friend and my father, my best friend and my little brother. My father passed away in 04. I lost him back then. My wife went down with the cancer. All of my closest friends and associates turned against me and sought to steal from me and sought to destroy me. It was really heartbreaking, actually, to find out that the people I loved the absolute most in the world, that I cared about more than anything, had some kind of major problem with me, that they had been fucking me and fucking with me and destroying me from within longer than I even knew about it. And so in the face of this cancer, in the face of my wife nearly dying from it, and it's something that I have to deal with today. And the thing that people don't understand is I'm not that Boneyard Press guy from 2000. I'm not even the guy you knew in 04. I've been dealing with this shit and having these life-changing events. I am a different man. There is a different person that you are dealing with now. So right now, there's a gentleman out there who helped this guy fuck me. This is a film that I could have released, I could have sold to Ghost House Pictures and made plenty of money and paid for all my wife's cancer treatments. This thing could have really saved my life, could have really helped me. But no, this person chose to destroy himself, destroy me. Now there's a gentleman out there named Brian Polito. Brian and I had a long association. I worked for Brian at Chaos Comics. It just came to light that Brian is trying to help this guy fuck me. He has helped him by setting him up with a new sales agent. for this film that he fucked me on. Behind my back, he set this thing up with a rep, and they're trying to sell this again for the fourth year in a row at AFM right now. And I've sent out my cease and desist notices to the companies, but I just want to say, Brian, you stupid cocksucker, you stupid fuck. You know, folks, I've been laying low for a long time taking care of my wife and fending off these scumbags. My wife's cancer was pretty nasty. It nearly killed her. It's something we deal with to this day. I will have nothing to do with my little brother. He's dead to me. He doesn't exist to me anymore. He's not a pod person took him. I don't know who this person is walking the earth. And I have kept my mouth shut for a long time. Well, folks, guess what? The fucking gag ball's out, motherfuckers. There's a whole new world out there. There's a whole new war out there. And I'm in it. I fucking had it. Brian, you stupid cunt. You have now joined the shit list. Gary Way, I know where you live now, you stupid cocksucker. You're dumb enough to live by my neighborhood. You dumb fuck. I've sat there and looked at your house, you stupid cocksucker. And every one of you motherfuckers out there from my personal life who thought it was okay to steal from me during my wife's cancer, during her chemo and radiation treatments, when you sent your fans with the hate mail. Well, guess what, fuckers? I'm back. You hear me, fucks? I'm back. I'm on my feet. I'm training. I'm living. And I'm in a far different place. You do not know this person. No one knows this person. I'm a very different man. And now that all this bullshit is done with all this crazy election shit, oh, man, my war begins. You guys are going to see me go fucking apeshit in 2013. You want to see me go apeshit? Tune into American Horrors. Yeah, that's right, American Horrors, my 24-hour, 7 days a week, uncut horror channel that's going fucking gangbusters. We're killing it, man. We're killing it. And I'm lining up amazing content, amazing stuff for the network. My life is going amazing. So for you, that asshole who fucked me, you know what? I heard your dad died. I'm fucking glad. I'm fucking glad another piece that supported your piracy, your sickness that enabled you to fuck people. I'm glad your dad's dead. You know who you are. I know you're listening. Enjoy your time in the dark. It's going to get colder. It's going to get darker. For every one of you cocksuckers who thought it was easy to go after me when my wife was sick, I'm coming back, bitches. Heart attacks in full fucking effect.
Fuck you!
Welcome back. I apologize for my massive nerd rage. It just makes me so angry. And I have another nerd rage thing. And then our last topic is nerd rage / stupidity. So I guess it could be a dumbest thing. We'll play it if Josh fancies so. All right. Here's the thing. I know we talked about a similar issue with the Ford Loco drinks. If you don't know what those are, they were alcoholic energy drinks that came in a ginormous can, kind of like the, if you see the Arizona iced tea cans, 23 ounce or so. I'm sure it's not the exact same. But anyway, so big old can was an alcoholic energy drink. And what was happening is they would taste like fruit punch, things like that. And college kids were chugging the hell out of them to get drunk. And of course, you know, anybody who knows anything about energy drinks, it palpitates because it's got shit ton of caffeine in it, and they were having heart attacks. So this is kind of related to that, not alcohol, but again, it's Monster Energy drinks. Now, I drink the shit out of Monster Energy drinks, if you can't tell. There were 5 reported deaths linked to Monster Energy drink. The thing is, they were children. These are 24 ounce cans, and apparently there's kids that are drinking multiple, like 2 or 3. There was a 14 year old girl that drank 2 of them, and apparently she died of cardiac arrhythmia due to an overdose in caffeine. And here's the thing, people are kind of in an uproar right now. There's a warning label on the back of Monster Energy drinks that specifically says, you know, not intended for children. And I wish I had one right here. I drink these things all the time, and I actually didn't pick up myself one. I'm on an Arizona kick. But yeah, there's warning labels on it. To me, it's no different than if you have cough syrup, anything that's intended for adults, alcohol, cough syrup, anything like that, you don't let your kids have. To me, Monster's not responsible. Again, there's a lot of adults that drink these things. You can OD on anything. Any substance, if you have enough of it, isn't good for you. ODing, and people are getting an uproar when, honestly, I'm sorry, maybe this makes me sound like a prude, but it's the parents' responsibility for not letting these kids drink. It's not like these kids went out and just bought them. They do card. They don't sell these things to little kids, depending where you are. But so these were, you know, kids that just out of the fridge, you know, were drinking them because they do. They taste like lemonade. They taste like fruit punch. There's so many different flavors. And I'm one of those people, I don't like energy drinks that quote unquote taste like energy drinks. Red Bull, just like that liquid sweet tart. I hate those. I like the ones that taste like delicious things. Of course, you know, kids not knowing things, they don't know any better. They drink lots of soda. They're going to take 2 cans and just, you know, drink the shit out of it.
Is this any difference than people that sue cigarette companies for giving them lung cancer? There's clearly a label on that. And
they don't, and they never win.
It's still the same mentality that, yes, just because something is labeled, that doesn't mean that that the parents, first of all, are rarely going to listen. You got to remember, Jillian, we've talked. You've lost your total faith in humanity more than once with the shit we've talked about
so
on this
times.
Show.
Well, it's the same. It's the same thing. Like, okay, so if your kids smoke cigarettes, are you going to blame the cigarette company because they got a hold of your cigarettes? No.
That's my point. The warning label. People don't even look at warning labels anymore. That's why it was in the late 90s, I believe. I can't remember if it was Congress that was trying to pass a law or some advocacy group that wanted Congress to pass a law that would have required the warning to be the package. The entire package of a cigarette would be taken up with a cancer warning. And that was obviously voted down or vetoed or I don't remember the outcome of that because it was over a decade ago.
Some side effects, anything you get. If you read the side effects on like any sort of aspirin, ibuprofen, there's crazy ass side effects that majority of people never have. But they put them on there because it's like, hey, just so you know, it's probably not going to happen, but there is this possibility. So that if that happens, it's like, well, we did have it on there. And you can't control how people are going to react to certain things. So here's the thing. If you don't read the warning labels, that's fine. A toothpaste has a warning label. Little kids shouldn't swallow it. If your kid sits there and squirts a whole fucking tube of like bubblegum toothpaste or what have you into their stomach and gets sick and has to go to the hospital, are you going to hold the toothpaste company responsible?
Mouthwash,
no.
Too.
Exactly. Yeah, anything like that. So it's asinine to me. I could understand the alcohol. Like, they banned it. I don't know if it's banned everywhere. That is adults being stupid, you know, young adults, what have you. It's an alcoholic / energy drink. And to me, that product doesn't really make sense because, or it doesn't need to exist because you can mix whatever with whatever. So for that, if it's like an epidemic like that, whatever, I don't care. Not that I think that it should have been banned, but the fact that they're trying to do an uproar about these energy drinks, just plain old energy drinks. And it's like, you know, you could do that with any product. Are you going to ban mouthwash, like you said? Are you going to, you know, ban anything? I don't care what it is.
It's the same thing with people that would do whippets. You know what whippets are, right?
Just like the helium?
No, whippets are like, I don't know if they've changed it so you can't do this anymore with them, but like a can of whipped cream, there's always that little smelly air that comes out right before the whipped cream comes out. If you snort that air, it releases bubbles in your brain, which gets you high. Those are called whippets. So you'd
see,
actually.
See, now you just gave people an idea.
Been around since the 70s. People have been
people
doing whippets since
whip
the 70s.
People are going to get ready, whip up their noses, and it's going to be like all NYPD bluish and be like, another one.
They do the same thing with those compressed air cans to clean out your computer with. I got fucking carded at Target for trying to buy an air can to clean my computer with.
I was wondering why they carded me.
Because people get high with that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that's like certain, like NyQuil, things like that. At certain companies, you have to go up to either the pharmacy or they're locked or whatever because people were like making meth or what have you with the ingredients in it. And it's like, all right, the cough syrup, but are people really going to like chop open the little liquid caps and do all that shit? I guess
yes.
So. It's like you're dedicated.
Yes, that was a big thing in the 90s. I think it's the amphetamine in it that is part of the methamphetamine of meth.
Yeah.
And that's where people would get it because that's a controlled substance.
Yeah.
So
they lock it so you can't buy a bunch.
Right. So people would go in and buy every cold medication that they could.
Methadrine was first distilled by a Japanese scientist before World War II. Handed to the Japanese, they knew a good thing when they saw it. By some estimates, 2% of the Japanese population had a meth problem after the war. Factory workers, soldiers, pilots. Maybe that's why it took two bombs to get them to surrender. A nuclear blast is just a minor nuisance to a determined tweaker. In the 50s, the housewives got a hold of it. Dexedrine, Benzedrine, Methadrine. Now that's a classic speed freak for you. Skinny and cleaning house. I bet her poor husband never knew what hit him in the sack either. There were even rumors that one of our presidents dabbled with mysterious energy shots. Imagine that, a slammer in the White House. If it's true, I bet old Khrushchev never got a word in edgewise. By the late 60s, the government finally cracked down and sent the whole thing underground. Bikers control the market for a while. But now, anyone with a basic chemistry kit and the right ingredients can cook it up at home. Ever see a long-haired tattooed freak buying up all the cold medicine he can lay his hands on at 3 in the morning? Take it from me, he doesn't have a cold. He's a cook. Look in his kitchen and you'll find a whole grocery list of unsavory ingredients. Drain cleaner, hydrochloric acid, match heads for red phosphorus, ether, and of course, the cold medicine. That's for the ephedrine, soon to become methadrine.
I'm buying energy drinks. Like, the people at Walgreens know me. I'll buy, like, 2 6-packs of 5-Hour. I've got, like, 6 Monster Energy. Like, I should just have a caffeine drip, honestly. I'm surprised I haven't had a heart attack.
Well, then you need to start contacting them and get us a fucking sponsorship, damn it.
So, again, am I being healthy by living on energy drinks? No. At the same time, I don't drink coffee. So, as much as people drink a lot of coffee, like, I'll have, like, chocolate coffee here and there. But we digress. The point is, these are kids, 14, you know, what have you... They still don't know. They're not going to pay attention. It looks like a fucking soda. It's the same size as an Arizona iced tea. Keep it out of reach. Be responsible. They can do that with anything. But it just so happened because, you know, they look like sodas or whatever. And it's like, really? I mean, you could do the same. Like if mom goes and she makes a giant pot of Starbucks espresso stuff or what have you, and the kid gets a hold of it. Because when you're 14, you're tall, you can reach the counter and be like, sweet, this tastes like vanilla mocha. I'm going to drink like a shit ton of it because mom made a lot and the kid has a heart attack. Are you going to like start rioting outside Starbucks? I mean, any substance is not for everybody. If you're diabetic, you're not going to eat certain things. But yet, if you have a child that's diabetic, and you're not careful with what they eat and they get a hold of whatever you have in the fridge and they go into shock. And again, this is extreme and I'm not making light of it. It's just it all correlates. You know, it all ties together. It's responsibility for certain items. There's alcohol that tastes like deliciousness of fruity. Kids wouldn't know any different.
Deliciousness
if you keep it in your fridge,
of fruity?
Yes. It tastes deliciousness of fruity. It's like sex in your mouth, except I'm having it. So the point is...
Wow. All right. I need to
go to adamandeve.com.
Do you have another topic for us?
I do. This is another mini rant. And I mean, I know these last two topics were going a little dark because there's deaths involved. This is a Russian teen who leaped from his apartment after seeing his favorite Japanese cartoon character die on TV, anime. And it's funny because the article says manga and they don't know what they're talking about, but that's not me. Not that it's funny, but it's just like my nerd kicked in. I'm like, it's not manga, it's anime. Manga is like...
Manga is printed, anime is animated.
Thank you. But I guess on Naruto, I won't say anything in case people are catching up because I would hate that. A character dies and the teen was so distraught, he apparently wrote something and committed suicide. So this makes me wonder, because we've talked about this before, the whole oversensitivity, and I wonder if it's going to be like, oh, we can't ever show people die and we can't do this. And it's like, you know, this is extreme. I hope things like this don't come in.
That is extreme. They had a similar issue in England. Some of our British listeners can maybe correct me if I'm getting the show or the time period wrong, but the show Footballers' Wives, which, remember, in England, football is soccer, but, you know, same thing. But the show Footballers' Wives, a major character commits suicide in season two. The night that episode of Footballers' Wives aired, the suicide hotlines in England lit up with people that wanted to die because it looked cool the way it was shot and edited, that the suicide looked, in their words, awesome. And so people wanted to try it. And you just got to wonder, really? Is this what we fucking become? Are these the same people that think Central America means Kansas, or that apartheid was a headache remedy from the 80s?
Quote from the dad says, I always told him he spent too much time watching TV. He didn't know what was reality and what was fiction anymore. Bullshit. I'm sorry. You can't tell me that a 14-year-old doesn't know that an animated series is fiction. And if he doesn't, then there's something, quote unquote, wrong with him, there's deeper psychological problems
that need to be dealt with.
The article says that teenage suicide in Russia is an ongoing thing. Third highest teenage suicide rate in the world. And I guess it's saying that psychologists and health experts and psychiatrists in Russia blame alcohol abuse, domestic violence, rigid rules, and high expectations from parents. So it's one of those maybe things are causing instability. This is just, I mean, I can't believe this. And this article was published November 1st.
And you see this in America, not as much anymore, but, you know, like even The Simpsons made fun of this. When I was growing up, you'd find those old ladies, you know, who just their husband was dead, their kids were all gone, and they lost themselves in the soap operas. You know, these are the kind of people that call them
mice. Mama's watching her stories.
Yeah, her stories. If they saw the actor on another show or like David Letterman or something, they would never call them by the actor's name. They were the character. These are the people that believe what they're seeing is a documentary and not fiction.
But here's my thing. The dad's quote alone, I told him he watched TV. He didn't know what was real or not anymore. It's like, no, there's deep-seated problems. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah. Okay. Do you remember the Judas Priest suicides from the 90s? Two teenagers who had serious mental problems prior to this. And I'm not saying that in postscript. They had been seeing psychiatrists for years. They got drunk. They got high and they listened to Judas Priest's album Stained Glass.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes.
And I do remember that.
They somehow heard, which it's been proven is not there, a backwards message saying, do it, to commit suicide. So one of them died and the other one blew his face off with a shotgun but didn't die. And they sued Judas Priest for it.
We came home and found our son lying dead on his bed of a gunshot wound. He had his headphones on, and there was an Ozzy record on the turntable. So we called our lawyer.
The thing was, everybody blamed Judas Priest. They didn't blame the weed that they were smoking. They didn't blame the Jack Daniels that teens had somehow gotten. And by the way, both these kids were alcoholics. They were regularly getting drunk, so they were getting their booze somewhere. Both of them had been seeing psychiatrists for years for serious mental problems, but it was Judas Priest's fault.
And both alcohol and marijuana are depressants. So it's one of those things, if that was something they were doing on a regular basis, obviously there was something there driving them to overdrink and whatnot. Again, I'm not making light of these situations, you know, with the energy drink or this, you know, it's sad that these kids died. It's the blaming that, you know, it's like when we talked about with the parents trying to sue the theater of the Batman shooting. Everyone wants to blame somebody, and obviously that's a completely different situation, but you can't blame companies for something, especially when they have a warning on the product. And they kind of joked on The Simpsons as well, going back with the Finding Nemo, where Milhouse's mom would fast, or all the parents, because Bart didn't know either. Milhouse comes up to Bart and
yeah,
he's like,
that.
Yeah, he's like, did you know that Nemo had a mom? And he's like, no, what? Nemo didn't have a mom. He's like, yeah, I watched it from the beginning. And the parents had been fast forwarding past the death of the mother to protect the kids. And it's like, you can't protect, in this instance, you can't protect kids from death. So if this is going to lead into, you know, don't show death, like, I think as a society, I'm not saying no censorship, kids should be able to watch whatever they want. I am completely against that. However, there's certain ways things are handled. A lot of anime is actually, you know, their programming, you know, like people, it's not just for kids. People were like, oh, blah, 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 cartoons. And there's serious stuff that goes on. We talked earlier, way back near when I first joined, about the whole Death Note thing.
Anime is made for a Japanese audience by Japanese cultural standards.
Right.
That's
and it
not
gets
their
dubbed.
Fault that other cultures
can't
either misinterpret
it.
Or, yes, can't handle it. It's perfect.
It's not even misinterpreted. It's someone being like, oh my gosh, somebody died, and they go and fucking kill themselves. In conclusion, this has been a lovely wild card day. I've been your host, Jillian Zarowski. My cohort, Josh Hadley, who will take over and make fun of me next week, I'm sure. No, but in conclusion, in all reality, essentially just be responsible for your own actions. You know, if you have kids, make sure that adult things are out of reach. And I mean, I'm not trying to get,
there's a reason cabinets have locks.
There is, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. And basically this has been, you know, a what the fuck of Jillian nerd raging and bitching over a lot of stuff. And I do want to say, I'm not making light of the deaths. It's very tragic what happened in these two stories. However, it's the whole, oh, it's the company's fault, or it's, you know, the TV's fault. And we've talked many a show on the whole blaming TV, video games, what have you. So it is kind of all tied in together, and it's been a rough week. So I'm sorry, but it had to be said. Well, if Facebook is still up when this airs, we have our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/talkwhat. And you can find myself or Josh there. I'm on Twitter, the Mistress J. You can find me at thecinemasnob.com. Also, I appear here and there on Geek Juice Media.
You can email me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. You can find me at 1201beyond.com or my weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at that same aforementioned geekjuicemedia.com, or my monthly column, The Shadows of Pop Culture, in Scene Magazine, if you happen to be in the Green Bay area.
So what's your 1201 beyond of? Like, what is beyond the 1201?
Because the first thing I did professionally was It Came From Beyond Midnight. So 1201 is beyond midnight. That's
aha,
right.
I get it.
Yeah,
I get
see,
it now.
See,
that's very smart.
I stuck with that just because it was a nice in-joke to me.
I never got it before. I was like, that's lame. But anywho, so yeah, that's where you can find us. And Mr. Josh and his all, I'm on this and this and 50 million things. So, yeah.
Good night.
Good night.